The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
You know, there was a time it got to be a disgrace to work down in Rome. They got wealthy and pampered and living in idleness and ease and luxury, and they got their minds on entertainment and amusement and sports where they didn't want to go out and participate themselves, that is, most of the people. But they paid the professional performers to perform for them. They wanted their sports more exciting, more brutal, just like we do now today. And we're going the way of ancient Rome. And they wanted to rely on the government to support them, so of course taxes went way up, just like they are here in the United States. And the main thing was they didn't want to work. Well, you know, up north there were the barbarians. They were ignorant. They didn't know as much as the Romans. They weren't as educated. They weren't the nice, dandy gentlemen that the gentlemen down at Rome were. But they were tough, and they were strong, and they had good health, even if their minds weren't as daintily educated. And so finally the barbarians came down and overran them and conquered them, and what happened to Rome? Well, it fell good and hard. My friends, we're riding to a great fall right here in the United States right now, and we don't realize it.
That's Herbert Armstrong. Back in the 1960s, so we're going back 60, 70 years. We often say on this program, that tagline, tomorrow's news today. Tomorrow's news today. I've had that clip the last two shows, and it kept getting pushed back. So today we move it to the top, going the way of Rome. Going the way of Rome. The barbarians are circling about, ready to pounce. Because they see the sickness within Manasseh, within the United States of America. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, and this is Stephen Flurry. I got it backwards there, didn't I? You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Either way it works. That's okay. You can be patient with us. Sometimes there's a lot going on. I've had quite a few lectures the last couple of days, and there's always quite a few news bits to try to sift through as we condense it down to 30 or 40 minutes. That's challenging to do. Thankfully, though, we don't have any commercial breaks, or if we do, usually it's just an in-house commercial that promotes some of our own literature for about 60 seconds or 90 seconds. But you talk about cramming a lot of content into about 55 minutes every day, and you truly do get a lot of bang for your buck, so to speak. You can get to the live presentation of this show at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream page and also get to the podcast that we post couple of hours after the fact every day that we have a live stream. So you can get to the archives as well of our previous videos. And it's important to go to thetrumpet.com because, as Sam tells me, every day YouTube is deleting videos from our channel. We stopped broadcasting live on the YouTube channel months ago. I guess it'd be 8 or 9, maybe 10 months now. And they're still... The YouTube police, these fascists at YouTube, probably in their 20s, probably in their pajamas, they're still going through our archives from years ago in some cases, or at least a year ago. I think it was last year, the pandemic, and then, of course, the election steal. And everything that we had to say was watched carefully, scrutinized, and they're still going back to try to delete the truth. To try to blot out the truth, just like the devil wants to blot out the name of Israel. America is coming under attack from within. And like Mr. Armstrong said, the barbarians from without, they're taking note. They're taking note. Now, China, some of them got their, they've got their own problems. China's currency is about to collapse. But there's a war, there's a trade war going on, even as we speak. And you see just ships backed up at American ports as the fight continues. China with, of course, the goods that stream into the United States and then the dollars that they need to keep their economy going. And then, of course, the U.S., the fake Biden administration, just wanting to print trillions and trillions of dollars. It's like we're on a race to see who can destroy their currency first. And meanwhile, Europe, as my father wrote in the Trumpet brief just a couple days ago, Europe is up for grabs. There's no clear winner coming out of the election in Germany. And so all of this, what you see happening all around the world, the United States just basically evacuated the Middle East a couple months ago. And we hear nothing except for a few sounding the alarm, saying American people are being tortured in Afghanistan. But the Biden people, they don't care about that. Obama doesn't care if there's Americans being brutalized or killed in Afghanistan. They don't even talk about it. They just left. Biden says it was the perfect thing to do. It was a perfect evacuation. And never mind the hundreds of Americans left behind. I guess we just carry on. This world is being rocked by one earth-shaking event after another. And my father brings out in that article we've drawn attention to in the last week or so, a dangerous new age of worshiping the will. Worshiping the will. He talks about this article at Newsmax. There will be no winners in the second civil war. Have you noticed all of these publications and commentators now talking about civil war or talking about a secession or talking about America needs a divorce? The red states need to split away from the blue states? And you go all the way back to the 1990s and see what the Trumpet was saying. Like I said yesterday, quoting from Abraham Lincoln, "A house divided, Jesus Christ, it cannot stand. It will not stand, this kind of division." And more commentators are waking to the fact that these are irreconcilable differences. You're not going to be able to solve this. I mean, when the Biden people, and when we say Biden, we mean Obama, when the Obama people are saying that it's the mothers of 13-year-olds that are really the terrorists, we've got to go after them at those school board meetings. When the Obama people are saying that their political opponents are like the Taliban terrorists, how do you fix that? How do you heal that divide? How do you bring both sides together? You've got Trump supporters lining the streets in Michigan to shout profanities at the Biden brigade as it comes through. And then Biden, of course, showing up to speak outdoors, he said it was a room, but we'll give him a pass there. Outdoors in front of what, 20 or 30 people? Here again, nobody shows up except the protesters. My father says this in an article titled, "There Will Be No Winners in the Second Civil War." Newsmax concluded, "Many people see war not only as imminent, but as virtually inevitable. If that's the case, we'd better get busy digging ourselves bunkers and graves," it says. This one's actually from a few years ago. It says, "And if the country plunges into infighting, many foreign nations will be ready to pounce." Many foreign nations, just like ancient Rome, the barbarians, they may not have been as sophisticated as the Romans, but they were strong. They had a strong will. They had a strong will, they did. It says, if the country plunges into infighting, many foreign nations will be ready to pounce. America is the wealthiest nation in history. If it continues to destroy itself, nations like China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, and others will destroy whatever the Civil War doesn't as they vie for the loot. The American superpower will become history. And a third world war involving multiple nuclear powers will follow. That's the big picture, my friends. We don't want to get lost in the weeds. There's plenty of weeds to get lost in. But this is the big picture. Look at the world around you. This is a world in turmoil. This is a world in danger. This is a world that for 6,000 years, it's been cut off from God and His Holy Spirit. It's been cut off from the tree of life. And so look, as I said earlier this week, right here in the United States, besides all of the political fighting, the nonstop fighting in politics, well, you've got skyrocketing murder rates. We covered this earlier in the program. Earlier in the week, I should say. Yesterday, CNN picked up on that. U.S. records the biggest increase in nation's homicide rate in modern history. That's a CNN headline. And when you want to try to identify root causes, why the increase in murder? Why these skyrocketing increases in murder over the last year? Well, you can go right back to George Floyd, all of the summer protests of love, burning down the cities, and yes, even murdering people. It went on for months. And then the movement that followed, defund the police. And then all of these law enforcement officials retiring early, resigning in protest. And then we wonder why the murder rates are skyrocketing. That was a CNN headline we gave to you. Now listen to CNN's Don Lemon as he tries to say, all the rioting last year, that was perfect. But January 6th, now that's something that's really, really scary. This is clip two.
There are many people who agree with the judge who conflates the two, right? They don't see the difference between riots where someone is breaking into a shoe store and looting and a riot where you have people entering the Capitol while Congress is in session certifying an election.
One, a shoe can be replaced. The other one, can you replace a democracy? How do you fix a broken democracy? That is, you can take a shoe and fix it or get another one, right? Or an insurance policy can replace a shoe. An insurance policy cannot replace a democracy or fix our broken republic or fix racism.
Is he seriously talking about last summer and saying it was shoes? Shoes? You can replace a shoe? That's CNN. The democracy. That nearly, the irony here, these people are destroying. They are destroying America's government. They're destroying the foundation of this nation. And then they talk about the riots last summer being, well, it was just a few shoes that got stolen. Those can be replaced. How do you replace the people that have been murdered? Forget about the 50 that were murdered in the riots. How about the skyrocketing murder rates since the summer of love? How do you replace those lives? And no one, by the way, was murdered on January 6th except for a Trump supporter. So in their minds, you hear the propagandists. They come out in full force. They're not going to change their views, even during the rioting. Remember, they were in front of the burning building saying it was peaceful. These people are deluded in their thinking. They're deranged. They're propagandists. They're communists. The communists have the upper hand at the moment. Lemon, by the way, went on to talk about the bad orange man and all of his followers. But that's what brought on January 6th and so on. I saw this from The Hill yesterday. It says here, the headline, former President Trump has fallen off Forbes' list of America's richest people. Donald Trump's fortune dropped to $2.5 billion, according to Forbes 400 on Tuesday, which is $400 million short of the cutoff needed to make the list. $400 million, I mean, he's still very wealthy, $2.5 billion. But it's $400 million short of the cutoff needed to make the list. This is the first time in 25 years Donald Trump has not been on the Forbes 400, with him on the top half of the list from 1997 to 2016 when he became president. Isn't that interesting? because we were told that the only reason he wanted to become president was so that he could line his pockets. He was doing it to, well, he just wanted to enrich his real estate empire. And now here comes the Hill telling us the truth. Remember all those years? Got to get to his taxes. We got to get his taxes. We got to find out how he's cheating, how he's stealing, how he's enriching himself, how he's enriching his children. Which is exactly what's happening in the Biden crime family. Guilty of what they accuse you of. Here he falls off of the Forbes 400 for the first time in decades. 25 years. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he did actually make a sacrifice to serve his country. Maybe he really is a patriot who sends out a few mean tweets from time to time. Maybe he really did want to build a better economy and make America great again. The truth comes out a few years on, after all the propagandists were out there in full force saying, oh yes, he's going to use this to line his pockets. Didn't happen, did it? Is America under attack? Of course it is. Listen to this. This was on Brett Baer's show this week. He's talking to the former Border Patrol chief who he's got a pretty unique perspective. He's talking about the change in policy going from Donald Trump to the fake president, Joe Biden, and how that affected the border policy there at the South. There's tens of thousands more coming. You thought Del Rio was bad? Just wait. Just wait. But here is this former border chief saying, this is what happened in that transition period from Trump to Biden. Clip 5.
Talk about the border wall. What were the instructions after the transition of administrations when it came to the wall?
So a presidential proclamation came out, and it was a 60-day pause that publicly available. We're supposed to do an in-depth study and then come up with a plan going forward. So Border Patrol did its part, everything. That was done within about 2 weeks. Many of those projects today are just still on hold. So we're paying contractors for a while. It was almost $5 million a day between DOD and DHS.
Just to not?
To work. Not build the border wall. There's
Wait. $5 million a day to not build the wall?
To not build a wall.
Even though they have all the stuff, they have...
There are stacks and stacks of border wall panels. There's hundreds of miles of fiber optic cabling. There's hundreds of cameras that were being installed with that. They're just sitting. There's no action being taken.
So what do they say when the briefing is, well, this really helps us. If we could just plug this in, if we could just finish this thing, what do they say?
We're not building more wall.
If those on the ground tell the Biden administration the wall will really help, look, we've got the panels, the steel, the cameras, everything is just sitting there. And the response from Biden, his people, we're not building the wall. They were paying contractors $5 million a day not to build the wall. They want, this is the desired outcome. They want Del Rio. They want those tens of thousands more that are coming up from South America, Central America, Haitians by the tens of thousands. They want this. The border's wide open. America's under attack. And so when Biden goes up to Michigan to talk about how he wants to spend trillions of dollars on green energy and put electrical pumping stations up all over the United States so that we can drive electric cars, people line the streets, not to support him, to shout him down. And you can tell that he was a bit triggered by the signs and the profanity. Not that we're endorsing any of this, but he's a bit sensitive to it. And you can understand why. It's everywhere that he goes. It's in college football stadiums. Even if college students are getting into this, you know this is a train wreck. But listen to him yesterday talking about how many votes. You don't hear them talking about the 81 million votes very often. But here's one exception. This is Joe Biden from his speech in Michigan yesterday, clip 9.
That's what And notwithstanding some of the signs that I saw coming, that's why 81 million Americans voted for me. The largest number of votes in American history.
81 million voted, and then the 30 people there start to clap. A kind of a tepid applause, if ever there was one. 81 million. The big lie. The big lie. Terry McAuliffe, he's pursuing the governor's position in Virginia. And he's on this Zoom call. Listen to it. Keep in mind, I forget what Biden won Virginia by, but when you take into account all the cheating that went on there, he won by a lot. But listen to Terry McAuliffe as he explains that to, I guess, voters. I'm not sure who's on the Zoom call with him, but he's talking here about Biden's popularity in Virginia, a blue state, a blue state. This is clip four.
But we got to get Democrats out to vote. We are facing a lot of headwinds from Washington. As you know, the president is unpopular today, unfortunately, here in Virginia. So
the president is unpopular in Virginia. This is right outside the Beltway. This is right outside Washington, D.C. Trump won Virginia. That Sam and I believe that, but we'll let that go for a second. He won. Of course, he won the 5-6 states that we talk about often on this this program. But I think I agree with Donald Trump when he says, you know what? We won and we won big. We won in a landslide. There's cheating all over the place. But there's Terry McAuliffe acknowledging the truth, saying the silent part out loud. You know, we really don't need Biden to campaign for us because he's unpopular in Virginia. He's been in office, Biden, I mean, for 10 months. 9-10 months, that's it. He's unpopular in Virginia? I mean, maybe Florida, but Virginia? Yeah, that's right. That's right. America's under attack. And really, the attack is on all Israelite nations. ABC just came out with a headline. Someone tweeted this. More Americans have died of COVID this year than in all of 2020. And you know what's amazing about that statistic? Nobody was vaccinated in 2020. In 2021, two-thirds of Americans have been vaccinated. Two-thirds! And yet more have died. This is ABC. I'm not giving you propaganda here. This is ABC. More have died of COVID this year than did die of COVID in 2020. So who's been the president this year, by the way? Are we to put this on Biden? Is Biden a mass killer?
As many of you may remember.
It's pretty crazy. What's happening? More Americans, and Joe Biden, of course, presiding over it all as he pushes to get the vaccine out, to mandate vaccines. People are being fired by the thousands now in education, in the medical industry, in law enforcement. This is a big month, October, for layoffs. People are being laid off by the thousands because they didn't get the jab. And yet more people are dying. And as we're seeing in study after study, there was another one just today from Australia. Here again, 7 out of the 10 that died were vaccinated. The vaccine is causing COVID to spread. COVID was created in Wuhan, and it was funded by Fauci and Daszak and others in the NIH and elsewhere. You had the NIH guy, he resigned yesterday. He was caught lying, saying, we didn't have any gain-of-function funding or anything like that. Fauci lied with that, too. They all did. Of course, Fauci, Daszak, I guess they're still in their top positions. I'm not sure about Daszak, but you hear Fauci every day. You can't not hear him. Created in the lab. And then, of course, the vaccine, that's created. I mean, it's made billions for Moderna and Pfizer, like I said yesterday. $15 billion. You've got a Pfizer guy, a Pfizer scientist basically admitting, he's secretly videotaped, admitting, hey man, we're basically operating on COVID dollars. It's boom time for Pfizer. Making money hand over fist because of the vaccine. And yet more people, they've died of the COVID this year than they did last year. Listen to this videographer in Melbourne. I think he's just at a mall somewhere. Melbourne, as you know, it's come under some of the strictest lockdown measures in the world, worse than China. And look at this mall, and look at all of these businesses that have just been emptied out. This is clip three.
Police. That's closed down. That's police. All that's police. That looks pretty police as well. Oofed.
It's probably okay, though. I mean, maybe they're just all shoe stores. I mean, you can replace shoes. Insurance can replace the shoe store income, can it not? Let's just play along with Don Lemon. That doesn't hurt anybody, does it? I mean, but democracy. When the Capitol comes under attack from the insurrectionists, the armed insurrectionists, well, that's something to scream about. So say the communists. For lease. All of these businesses emptied out. No wonder so many Australians are taking to the streets in Victoria and New South Wales. Their lives, their livelihoods have been destroyed. And you have the same kind of radical left-wing leadership down there in those two states in particular who just want everyone jabbed. Every single person, or if not jabbed, spied upon. Listen to this report from, I think this is News 9 out of Australia in, New South Wales, clip 6.
Today, the call has gone out to everyone in home quarantine in Victoria to take part of our pilot program. And what that means is that they will receive random phone calls and they have to answer within 5 minutes with a selfie sent to this app, which will then geo-track where that person is and to make sure that they are who they say they are as well. If they don't answer within that five-minute period, that's when health officers come knocking, Pete.
Maybe the circus music underneath all of that makes it seem a little less authoritarian than what it really is. But really? You're going to track people on their cell phones? That was Victoria, by the way, not New South Wales. Track people on their cell phones? And if they don't respond, if they don't answer within 5 minutes, health officers come knocking. They come knocking. Where? Beijing? Wuhan? No. Victoria, Australia. Listen to this from the Telegraph. This is in the UK. It says, scientists from Wuhan and the US were planning to create new coronaviruses that did not exist in nature by combining the genetic codes of other viruses, proposals show. This is now revealed. They put forth proposals a few years ago to create, not to use a virus that's in nature and to kind of manipulate it. We know all about that. But to actually create a new virus. These are the experts. What do you need a new virus for? Well, you get a lot of new vaccines when you get new viruses. It says documents of a grant application submitted to the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency leaked last month reveal that the international team of scientists plan to mix genetic data of closely related strains and grow completely new viruses. I mean, this is worse than gain of function. This is worse than manipulating viruses that are already there. These are mad scientists creating brand new ones. That's what they wanted to do. It says the grant application submitted in 2018 states, 2018, keep in mind, this is early on in the Trump presidency. Keep in mind what Fauci says in 2017. In the first few days days before Trump was inaugurated, he said, there will be a pandemic in this administration. This is some serious attack we're talking about. America under attack. I mean, these are bioweapons. Application from 2018. We will compile sequence RNA sequence data from a panel of closely related strains and compare full-length genomes, scanning for unique SNPs representing sequencing errors. Further on, it says, explaining the proposal, a WHO collaborator who has asked not to be named for fear of reprisals. He doesn't want to be named, this whistleblower, because the scientists will attack him. Don't you dare expose this. I mean, this is science. Science, falsely so-called, as Paul said in 1 Timothy. Let's call it what it is. This is not science. This is madness. It says, this means that they would take various sequences from similar coronaviruses and create a new sequence that is essentially the average of them. It will be a new virus sequence, not a 100% match to anything. They would then synthesize the, well, explains the process here and so on. Further on, it says, although the grant proposal was rejected in 2018, the Wuhan database of viral strains was taken offline prior to the COVID outbreak some 18 months later, meaning it is impossible to check which viruses the team was working on or had created. Wuhan scientists have consistently denied creating the COVID virus. Now, listen to this part. It says, the proposal was submitted by the British zoologist Peter Daszak on behalf of a consortium which included Daszak EcoHealth Alliance and so on. So there you tie it together to that outfit in North Carolina and Anthony Fauci behind it all. He's putting forth a proposal, Daszak, saying, hey, we want to create new viruses. These are the same people who lied for months saying, no, we never funded Wuhan. We never funded any kind of gain of function research. A scandal of epic proportions. The conclusion here, it says, the WHO source said he had struggled to raise the issue of a lab leak with other scientists and had been warned not to go on the record with his concerns. He had been warned not to go on the record. He had been warned not to sound the alarm. That's from the Daily Telegraph. Pretty amazing. The truth coming out, of course, months, years after the fact. And the propagandists in the media, they could care less. They just can continue on with their narratives. Yeah, the shoes. A few shoes got stolen last summer. A few shoes, and those can be replaced. And you can get insurance to pay for those. No wonder people line the streets to shout down this illegitimate administration. How long, Eternal? How long will the righteous be encompassed by the wicked? Well, in fact, it's the sins of all of our people. Head to toe, Isaiah 1 brings this out. That's what we've got to be considering. Even when the temporary resurgence comes, it's not going to last for very long. We need to brace ourselves for what's coming. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to turn to God in repentance and faith. We need to look to Him as our salvation, as our protector, as our guide. This nation, and more, I haven't had time here to get into this article on the civilizational collapse of our nations. That's what we're witnessing. That's what we're watching everywhere that you look. You see it, and like my father said, and like Mr. Armstrong himself said back in the 1960s, tomorrow's news today, the barbarians, the Bible would say the Gentile nations, they are circling about like vultures, just waiting to grab hold of the spoils of war. They see what we're doing to ourselves. They see that we're destroying ourselves. And that too brings a lot of prophecies to light. Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 5. Quite a few biblical passages that we don't have time to get to. I'll just refer you, though, to, I've mentioned America Under Attack. This one just gives you basically a foundation of prophecy. The United States and Britain in prophecy. It really does unlock, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, it unlocks a third of your Bible to your understanding. A third of the Bible is prophecy. And this is the third that even the world of traditional Christianity dismisses. It was all fulfilled. It's just history. There's really no prophecy. And yet the disciples in the first century, they came to Jesus and said, look, we know you're coming back. Tell us what's going to happen before you do. And what did Jesus say? You guys are crazy. Get your minds off of prophecy. Come on now. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. He told them. He told them in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, here's what's going to happen. This is what will happen immediately prior to my return to this earth to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. We got to get our minds into prophecy. I mean, it's not like that's all of our spiritual diet. You can see that from the second segments of these shows. But prophecy, we certainly need to know the sure word of Bible prophecy, as the Apostle Peter said. It is sure. It is coming to pass. All of these prophetic, all of these movements described in your Bible, these four great powers, I mean, everything is aligning just so for the spectacular end. United States and Britain in prophecy. Call our operators today and request your free copy. The call is toll-free, 1-866-930-3024. If you want to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In the last week or two, I've drawn attention to this verse, wonderful verse in 1 John 4 and verse 14. It says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent, he sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." That's the big picture in God's purpose and plan. God sent his Son to save not just the few that have come out of this world and into God's true church these past 2,000 years, but to, in fact, save the whole world. And there's a time order to it. 1 Corinthians 15 brings that out. But it's the perfect plan. And in the end, most of those people who've lived over the past 6,000 years, many of them never knowing about the name of Jesus Christ, the only name by which we might be saved, most of them will repent and turn to God and be born as members of God's family. Everyone, even those that defiantly reject God's family government, and there will be a few of them, of course, but everyone will have had an opportunity to participate in God's plan. This is from the correspondence course that Mr. Armstrong used to put out years ago. It says, "Can you imagine the multiple hundreds of billions of people who have been born, who have lived through miserable marriages, reared and lost children, and have grown old, suffered and died since the creation of the earth, never knowing the God that gave them life, never once having seen a Bible or heard the name of Jesus Christ pronounced in their ears?" It says, "Are these poor, ignorant people lost forever? Is the hope of salvation and eternal life forever beyond their grasp? Is there no hope for these people that have never known God? That have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? That have never had their minds open to the truth? Is there no hope for them? There is hope for them. Your Bible says so. Notice Revelation 20 and verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And so the disciples of Christ, those that have been called out of the world, out of this age, this present evil world, to be prepared to rule and to teach with Jesus Christ, they're called in Obadiah 21, they're called co-saviors. Jesus, God sent his son to save the world. And yet your Bible talks about those that are heirs together with Christ, those that are co-saviors with Christ. That's Obadiah 21 and Romans 8:17. And then the work begins during that 1,000-year millennium of turning people in their hearts, turning them to God, turning them to the great Creator God, to worshiping their God. All of them, all nations living under the perfect government of God, administered by King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Christ the King. But notice this, verse 5. This is Revelation 20 and verse 5. It says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." So there's the first fruits resurrected to spirit life at the return of Jesus Christ. And then there's those that live through the great tribulation on into the world tomorrow that the first fruits begin to teach and train and educate in God's ways. And then there's all of the rest. All of those who lived and died. Did they live and die in vain? Is there no hope for them? Of course there's hope for them. God didn't just snuff them out without ever giving them an opportunity to learn his ways. It says, "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." So that means they're going to live again. How? Well, God's going to bring them back to life. God can do that. He made us in the first place. Why should this seem like it's impossible? God's going to resurrect them from the dead. The rest come up at the end of that 1,000-year millennium. These are those who died without any knowledge of salvation. These are those who died without having repented and turned to God in faith. Verse 6, it says, Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. So it takes us back to the first resurrection. It does that actually at the end of verse 5 as well, which is a parenthetical phrase. This is the first resurrection. That's talking about the ones in verse 4 that rule on thrones, the ones that are resurrected to spirit life, who rule with Jesus Christ. But then there's the rest, the ones who never had their minds open to the truth. They're going to come up physically at the end of that 1,000-year millennium, and then they'll have an opportunity to learn and to live God's way of life. Verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." See, the dead, they're now standing. The dead, they're now alive. They've been resurrected. This goes right against what you hear in traditional Christianity. You know, the immortal soul, and you go straight to heaven as soon as you die. Ezekiel 18 says that the dead are exactly that. They're dead. They're buried. They're awaiting their resurrection from the dead. That's the truth of the Bible. The dead, small and great, stand before the eternal or God. And the books, that would be the books of the Bible, They're opened, open to their understanding, that is. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, all what this means is that all of the earth's deceived billions. Revelation 12:9, after all, says that the whole world is deceived. And here what we learn is that the deceived billions will be raised to mortal life to live out their physical lives a certain period of time. Isaiah 65 suggests it's 100 years or so. They have an opportunity to live out their lives and to be judged by God. The books of the Bible are going to be open to their understanding. And they're going to be given the opportunity to not just be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. To live the way of God. To live according to the Ten Commandments. And to be judged in accordance with what they do, with how they live. This is the second resurrection. The first resurrection you have at the start of the millennium or right after the great tribulation and day of the Lord, the resurrection to spirit, the first fruits resurrection. And then you have the second resurrection that comes at the end of the 1,000 years, like we just read. And that is billions of people being brought to life, physical life, and given an opportunity, as I say, to participate in God's plan. Notice Ezekiel 37. This is verse 11. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are they're the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." So here are the Israelites of old. They thought they had been lost, and God says, no, it's just that you hadn't been judged yet. Mr. Armstrong gets into that in Mystery of the Ages, ancient Israel, and how that, even though they had all of these ideal circumstances, living in a blessed land and protected on their borders and led by righteous leaders, and even still, look at how quickly they turn to idolatry and sin and witchcraft and mingling with all of these pagan nations, embracing their religious practices and rejecting God in the process. They didn't have the heart to obey. They didn't have God's Spirit. They didn't have access to God's Spirit. And so here are these Israelites brought to life physically, brought to life in the second resurrection. Verse 12, it says, this is Ezekiel 37 still, it says, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the eternal God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the eternal when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." Man, you're going to know then. If you doubted before, wait until you're brought back to physical life. Wait until you're resurrected right out of the grave. Verse 14, it says, "And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the eternal, or that I, the eternal, have spoken it and performed it, saith the eternal." And so God resurrects them to physical life. He causes breath to enter into their bodies. And then he offers them his Holy Spirit. And you have verses like, I think it's Isaiah 11 and verse 6, that talks about the Spirit of God just covering the earth. Everyone now given access to the Spirit of God. Not cut off from the Spirit, not cut off from the Tree of Life. That's the way it's been in this age. That's the way it's been in this present evil world. That's why the world's evil. But now given access to God the Father and His Spirit power. Notice Isaiah 65. And we'll just read the last few verses of this before we conclude here. This is Isaiah 65. And verse 20 in the Revised Standard Version, it says, "No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. So none of them are going to die without attaining full age physically. Everyone living out their physical life about 100 years or so. This is what, again, this is at the end of the 1,000-year millennium. So, and during that time, by the way, God's family will have constructed a Garden of Eden utopia. And many, many millions, hundreds of millions more will have been born into the family of God, those that lived through the tribulation and that were the sole survivors physically there at the outset of the wonderful world tomorrow. God's family will grow and expand all through that 1,000-year period. But then after that, when you get to the great white throne judgment period, all who've ever lived will have an opportunity to live unto God, as Paul said. Verse 21, it says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." Everyone, you see, gets involved. Everyone can own a piece of property and develop the land and appreciate God's creation and fully participate in God's way of life and receive an education, an AC-like education, the education like we get at Armstrong College, not the propaganda you see at universities today or that's espoused by media moguls and all of their mouthpieces. Institutions of truth. God's truth, the Word of God, the foundation of all knowledge. That's what everyone's going to specialize in. Verse 22, it says, "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Everyone's going to enjoy the work of their own labor. Everybody's going to be working, and they're going to be enjoying it. And they're going to be producing. And they're not going to be dependent on government to give them everything. Free handouts, free this, free that. They're going to be working and contributing. And they're going to realize that God made us to work. That's what Jesus said about his Father. "My Father works and I work. We both work. We create." Verse 23, it says, "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the eternal, and their offspring with them." See, now they're God's seed. They're God's children. I've gotten a few emails of late when I've made statements about becoming God or being born into God's family. You know, a lot of people can't wrap their minds around that. In some cases, they're kind of offended by it. Some few consider it blasphemy. But look at what it's saying here. "For they are the seed of the blessed of the eternal." What does it mean to be the seed of God? That means you're his offspring. Verse 24, it says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God will have an intimate relationship, a family relationship, a fatherly relationship with all of his children. And verse 25 says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Eternal." Now, this wasn't fulfilled anciently. This is talking about not even the wonderful world of tomorrow. This is talking about beyond the world tomorrow, the great white throne judgment period. This is a magnificent extension of the millennium as God's family just expands and multiplies and grows and eventually spreads on out into the universe. Now that's a subject. That's a subject that we could speak on for hours and hours and hours. Unfortunately for today, our hour is about up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we hope that you'll join us again tomorrow.